guys, I am Mikayla Dice. I just wanted to say thank you so much for joining us here on my podcast, Because You Belong Here. The purpose of this podcast is to talk about testimonies. I am a firm believer that your testimony should be someone else's prophecy. So we will be talking with some of my friends and family and people that I love about things that God has done in their lives. And I will be sharing different things about things that God has spoken to my heart and things that I've experienced through Him and His Word. And so I just wanted to tell you, grab a cup of coffee, pull up a chair, and come hang out with us as we go deep, discovering the ways that God has proven His love in tangible ways. I am so excited you're here. All right. Good morning. I am here with my friend Kara Lee, and we are going to talk about some really cool things. First, the biggest thing is that Kara Lee wrote a book, and you're having a launch party on March the 2nd, correct?
Yes, I am.
So excited. So in the show notes, I will include a link where you guys can pre-order her book because it's going to be beautiful. So Kara Lee, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and a little bit about your book and kind of the process that got you to becoming an author?
Sure. So I'm Kara Lee with a capital L, and I was born and raised in South Carolina. I have a beautiful daughter who's almost 5. I am an artist, and I really have found a love for illustration in the past few years. And I love all things rhyme. So everything that I've written and hope to write has been in rhyme. Which is super fun. It's just a really nice way to like see the world through the lens of rhyme. So my most recent book, as you mentioned, is Not Your Average Rhyming Bible. So it's basically the whole narrative of the Bible, you know, that you would see in a children's book, or just a general storytelling of the Bible. It's in rhyme, but it's not like the simplistic young kids rhyme. It's for older kids, for adults. It's also illustrated. So it's really awesome, and I can't wait to share it with you guys.
And you did the whole thing. You wrote it, you illustrated it, you published it, all the things by yourself.
Yes. It's been quite a project, but yes.
That's amazing. Can you tell everybody a little bit about why you love rhyme? Like that story about how you fell in love with rhyming. Yes.
Yeah. So in freshman year of high school, I have this wonderful friend. She's still a friend of mine, but we used to pass notes to each other and just kind of tell each other about our day. But I don't know what started it, but we just started writing them as poems. So every line would rhyme with the line before. And they would just be so silly, and they would just make the most mundane things like fun. And I always looked forward to getting her notes, and I'd send her one back. And I just started to think in rhyme at that point, because we were passing notes so often, and you're just like, how can I make this sound like a rhyme, and how can I make it sound better? So that's what really got it started, I would say.
I love that so much. When I read that story, I was like, this is the coolest, like, just like finding ways to make life beautiful. Mm-hmm. Like just that like little snippet of random, like, so to anybody else, like that would be super random. And I think that it is, I don't know. I just love it. What a cool way to like focus your brain in a new way.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of the story of my life, trying to make everything a little brighter, a little better, just by rewriting it, even in your own head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love it. So cool. Okay. So what we talk about on this podcast, in case anybody listening hasn't listened before, I really love to talk about testimonies and stories of the way that the Lord has worked in people's lives. And so kind of talking through the way the Lord has showed up and kind of what shown up and kind of what we learn about who He is and the way that He loves us by just identifying the way He's worked in our life. So That's what we're going to talk about today. And Carolee, do you have like a story or a time that you kind of have prepared to talk about the way the Lord has worked in your life? I know you have several.
Yeah, I do. It was hard to narrow down, but I think the most major story of how the Lord's worked is really a story of obedience, well, disobedience at first. So yeah, I got married at 20, and before this, I had heard a very, very clear, like specific warning against my choice from the Lord. It was very clear that it was from him. And I was young and I didn't really understand that. And I kind of just stuffed it down. I was like, whatever, that doesn't mean anything, you know? I just disregarded it, which I now see as disobedience. But so I went through with it. I got married and I don't want to like say it was horrible all the time. Of course, we had good times. We have a beautiful daughter. But there was a lot of hardship involved. It was a very lonely time in my life. And they say like marriage is about compromising, and that's true. But in my case, I feel like I compromised on everything, even the important things. Like my faith, I compromised on my passions. And eventually just led to me getting really hurt. So in 2020, everything just kind of came to a head, which I think everyone has a story about 2020, a horror story. So I know I'm not unique in that. But yeah, so everything came to a head, and I was faced with a decision to stay or leave the marriage. And yeah, I sat down and prayed about it, and immediately I was reminded of that warning. And I was like, okay, well, I had made the wrong choice. Let's correct it. And it's kind of like shocking because God knew, you know, God knew 7 years prior what was going to happen in the future, you know, and he tried to warn me about it. And I could have been saved from a lot of hardship, but I had to go through that to really understand that and understand his sovereignty. And like, so even though I had made a really hard choice and there was a lot of grieving and there was a lot of hurt and redoing, just picking up my life and starting over, a lot of counseling, all the things, but there was just this really almost immediately like solid foundation of peace that I made the right choice. And that was based on it being a choice from God and not from me. And so I feel like prior to all of this, I was someone who you go up, you make a decision on your own without anyone else's help. You make a decision based on your emotions and your desires. And then you're like, hey, God, can you back me up on this? Or can you bless this decision that I already made without asking you anything about it, you know? And then through this process and through this hardship, I was able to see that that was wrong. Like, sure, I still saw God through my whole marriage, through my whole life beforehand, but, and he still showed up, he still did miracles. But so it's been so much sweeter since stepping into that obedience. It's almost like I was on a detour for all those years, and then I finally like get back on the main road, and it's like, oh, this is so much easier. Like, it's still hard, but it's easier, you know, because it's his will and he's there to help you. So it was a real shift. And that's why I say the Lord moved so much. It was such a shift in my mindset, that before I make any decision, I'm going to come to you first because I don't trust myself. I don't know the future. I don't have the skills for my decision, but you already know. And so what would you have me do? And will you help me through it? So yeah,
Yeah.
this is a major shift in thinking. So that changed my life. It really did.
I love that. That's, I feel like all of us have a story where we say, like, I really felt like the Lord said this, but I tried to tell him this. Or, you know, like right now we're having a conversation about something regarding our children, and we've been talking through it. And I keep telling my husband, like, I really feel like the Lord is saying we're supposed to do this, but I really feel like maybe he doesn't know me as well as he thinks he does. That's really hard, and you don't want it. Like, and I know in the end, like, it's always like, I'm so glad that I listened to the Lord. Or in times where, I don't know if I told you this story, but before, so we adopted the first two children. And then when we moved into our new house from, we moved from Arizona to Alabama, I really felt like the Lord was saying, like, hey, when you have a daughter, it's going to be quick and you need to prepare your nursery. And I was like, so, like, yeah, I have all these years of infertility and like all this stuff. Like, nope, I'm done. Like, I don't think that that's what I want to do. I can't have an empty nursery after all these tears, like, was kind of my like logic. And we had kind of talked about it and we were like, yeah, whatever. And we just brushed it off and didn't ever do it. And then before we adopted our daughter, we had a failed adoption and we did everything. We got everything ready. And I mean, it was somebody calling us saying, hey, we think that you should adopt this child. And we were like, I guess so. Like, yes, and see what happens. And so we did fundraising, we did home study, we had the nursery, like, we had a baby shower and everything. Like, the nursery was ready. And then we got the call that it wasn't happening. And we were like, what? But the beautiful thing is, we got the nursery ready and it was ready. So when we got a phone call a couple months later from our attorney saying, hey, this birth mother has chosen you guys, but she's 37 weeks pregnant. Can you do that? And we were like, well, yeah, we're ready. Like, we were ready 3 months ago. And so we were able to say yes to something that happened really fast. But because we were disobedient in the beginning, we had to go through like a whole breaking process and like a grieving process, because it's like we put ourselves in a spot to get our hearts broken because we didn't obey in the first place. You know? And I mean, Ariel is the light of our life and she's amazing. And I wouldn't trade any of those experiences for now. But yet, could we have avoided some of that? You know? But that's the part of that is too, you know, you never want to say, I'll just be the person that I was, that I will be in 10 years, because you don't want what it's going to take to get you there. And then you become this person and you can say, like, the Lord worked even though I was an idiot. Yeah.
Well,
So,
I thought of an analogy this morning. Can I share it with
of course.
you? So just the two different frames of mind. So the mindset of I'm gonna do this my way and then ask you to back me up. So say you're a person and you're going to go on a hike at a mountain you've never been to, a place you've never been, and you're gonna go by yourself and you're just planning to do it. And you're like, this sounds like a good idea. There's a waterfall somewhere. Let's find it, you know? And we're just like, hey, Jesus, can you get in my book bag? Like, can I just carry you along? So like if I get in a bind, you can help me. And he will. He'll give you a snack or he'll give you, call you like some a helicopter or something. But the difference between that and true like fear of the Lord and like asking him first what to do is having him as your guide. And he knows the mountain. He made the mountain. Like he knows every little obscure detail. He knows where to put your foot. He knows where the waterfall is. Even if it's a hard hike, he can lead you through it. And having that guide who knows literally everything about it will help you get there so much faster and so much easier than if you try on your own.
Yeah.
So
That's really good.
Yeah.
That's so good.
Came to me this morning, so.
It's funny because I'm currently writing a blog post for Crew for our young adults ministry, right?
Yeah.
And we're publishing blog posts. And so Pastor Bunk asked me to write one related to like relationships and dating because it's February and all the things. And what it's about is that, like, it's titled How to Pray for Your Spouse Before You Meet Them. But it's not actually that. Like, it's kind of, a play on words where you're praying for them in that you're praying for yourself
Yeah.
to become the person that can be their spouse. Like, you want to be prepared for that. But part of what I was talking about in there is like, we go places, we get on dating apps, we do all these things, and none of those things are wrong. Like, the Lord can definitely use those if you let Him. But we do all these things saying, oh, maybe I'll just accidentally bump into someone and the Lord will make it happen. Or, trying to coerce the Lord into doing something for you because it's what you want. And you force it to happen. And then you're like, okay, Lord, I have this now. I need you to, sprinkle your blessing on it and like help me move forward and let this be something that brings you glory. But really, what he had planned is completely different. Not that he can't use it, because he uses all things for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. But how much sweeter would it be if we didn't have to go through those heartaches because we just said, okay, Lord, you're in charge. Like, I'm gonna do, I just want what you want for me.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I'm firsthand story of that.
Yeah, it's just, and I mean, we do it in all aspects of our lives. Parenting, marriage, career, like all of the things. I feel like we always move forward and thinking that we have a plan and forgetting that the plan shouldn't be ours.
Yeah, and his is so much better than we could even imagine. It's like you might get what you want, but with eternity's eyes looking back, we might have had something so much better that we chose not to go for, you know?
Yeah. And that's, so I was listening to a podcast. I don't remember who it was. I don't remember who it was, but they were talking to Amy Grant maybe. And she was talking about when she was in the season of having like little kids and her husband's out of town all the time because that's what they do. And her mother-in-law was there and she woke up one morning and she had a like an interview with somebody on the other side of the world. And so she had this like weird time that she had to be on the phone and like, her baby had been up all night, and her mother-in-law said, when you feel that way, just say, Lord, help me help someone today who needs me. Let me draw someone like through to you and just help me see things from an eternal perspective. And that like eternal perspective phrase has stuck with me. And I mean, we're in a really hard season of parenting right now, and I'm trying to remember like the battle is not with my children.
Right.
Because the battle is not flesh and blood. Like, I'm not like in a battle with them. That's not where the war lies. But trying to make decisions moving forward about schooling and whatever else happens from an eternal perspective and saying, like, their grades don't matter as much as who they are to other people. And if they care about other people and if they're kind and like, how can I instill those values in them instead of a perfectionist mindset where, trying to be in control of the way that they behave or whatever else it might be?
Yeah, thank God that he doesn't grade us.
Right? Yeah. Like, how can we become more like him? Like, it doesn't matter what we know, it doesn't matter how well we can take a test. If we're not like him, all of those things are trash, So through everything that you went through and all of the things that you've been through, what is something that you learned to be true about the Lord and who he is that maybe you already knew but became tangible as you walked through this?
Yeah, so I think I mentioned like to see that the Lord is sovereign and that he is all knowing and he is elevated than rather than equal to me. I feel like the first way of thinking is equal to me. And then the second way of thinking is he knows better. I am nothing. Like, I will humble myself because he is greater and he knows more. He is the actual Lord of my life. So, but also just like to know that the Lord is kind. Even if you do make the wrong choice, he's still going to show up. He's still going to be in your backpack. He'll still help you, you know? But then he's also kind to bring you back into that place of obedience, even if it's harder than we expect, you know? But what I'm getting at is like, I truly believe that obedience is, it unlocks an abundance and a favor in our lives. And it's something that we don't really witness unless we have that mindset. And so my story about the wildflowers is when I was in that really hard time in my life, I wasn't finding a lot of joy in just the day to day. And so I just decided to see something good in every day, something that I could make a note of, whether it was big or small, whether it was just a cloud in the sky or a good conversation with a stranger or something, just something to cling to every day that I could enjoy and have happiness in. And eventually that started to turn into looking for little flowers everywhere I went. So I would notice like these itty bitty, have you ever seen like the really tiny blue flowers that are just like in the grass?
My favorite.
Yeah. And the thing about it is, there are flowers year round, like maybe not everywhere in the world, but probably there's something that's beautiful in every season, everywhere, all the time, because God made it, you know? So you just have to look for it. And so for here in South Carolina, I was always looking for little flowers. So I'd keep my eyes peeled for wildflowers or weeds, anything with a little bit of color. so I would. It turned from just anything and into flowers in my head. And so every year I'd be driving around and I would look for the flowers on the side of the interstate, all these things. And I did this for years. I would actually like make little bouquets out of the flowers I'd find. I'd go on walks with the intention of finding something beautiful on it, and taking a picture of it. So for years I was doing this, and then one day I was driving to work and I went a different route than usual. And I end up driving past this huge field of poppies. And I don't see those anywhere. Like, that is so uncommon for me. But it literally took my breath away because, yes, it was beautiful. And yes, I might have noticed it before all of that. But having my eyes so trained to look for the good, look for the little beautiful things, just made it all the more shocking and awe-inspiring, to see such an abundance. So, like, I was picking the tiny ones, and then all of a sudden, there's this massive field, and it's like, it felt like a promise of something, you know, something greater. And later, it really did like come full circle, and that was part of something I discovered in counseling was like the abundance is before me, like, and the Lord's favor had been on me ever since I made that decision to obey Him, and just seeing that there is a promise of abundance on my life. And I think it's on all of our lives. It looks differently for everyone, but God does favor his people. He favors those who love him, you know? And yeah, it's just a really beautiful like way of seeing it in just eternal perspective, heaven's eyes, training your eyes to see what God's doing even in the dark times, and then he'll bring you out of it into the harvest.
Can you
So,
hear that?
what?
So I'm on the other side of my daughter's wall,
Oh.
and I think she's in her closet.
No, I
Okay, cool. I'll edit that part out. Just like banging a drawer and a dresser, like shaking the wall.
no.
Sorry. Anyways, yeah, that's amazing. Like, that's beautiful. I think that that goes back to that other conversation about you finding the rhyme and like I just it's been really cool to get to know you and hear these stories of how good you are at finding those things and like searching for the beauty in the moments that don't feel easy or don't make sense, but finding his goodness in those tiny things. My friend Katie calls them like kisses on the cheek, like where it's God's kisses on the cheek, where he's just reminding you, like, hey, I love you.
For
You
sure.
know, just those sweet moments that might seem tiny and you wouldn't see them if you weren't training yourself to see them. You know, like that field of poppies, like you would not have been as in awe of that if you weren't already noticing the tiny things. You know,
I
and
think
it just
I would have
makes
noticed it, but I wouldn't have been like, I think I like stopped the car. I was like, what? Like, what? You know, just so shocking after you have, you're like doing the whole Toy Story, like painting Woody. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And then you like step back and it's like, oh, hello.
Hey.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. So amazing. So through all of these things, and I know you have lots of other stories about the goodness of God in hard seasons and different things. So maybe we'll have another conversation on another day. But is there a scripture or what I call a rhema word, where the word came alive and just really sustained you in that season. For anybody who's listening that may be going through something similar or in a really hard spot, like that they could say, this worked for her and this is what the Lord did for her. He can do it again. So I'm going to hold on to his truth. Something you could share.
Well, what I wanted to share is actually kind of after I was kind of brought out of this. But I also, now that you're saying that, I also want to share a verse that I really clung to in addition to what I was gonna say, if you don't mind.
Of course, the more the better.
Let me find it so I don't say it wrong. It's in Isaiah. Actually, both of them are in Isaiah. But I really clung to this, and it also just has so much garden imagery, which is kind of where my story just goes. It's flowers, all things flowers are caroly. Come on, let's see. Okay. For the Lord shall surely comfort Zion. He comforts all her waste places and makes her wilderness like Eden, her deserts like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the voice of song. So just wanted to share that on top of what I'm going to say. But I love that verse so much because it just ties into my story, like I was saying.
Beautiful.
I want to say this was in 2022. Where I felt like I was in this really good season. I felt like I was healing, like, and I was properly healed, although, you know, that's ongoing. But I was feeling really good about where I was in my life. But my church was doing a prayer and fasting time, and we had these booklets with verses to like meditate on. And I had heard of the Lord like waking up people in the middle of the night to like talk to them, but it hadn't really happened to me. But this particular day, like at 5 a.m. in the morning, it was the first day of the prayer and fasting. Excuse me. And I woke up and I was like, oh, are you trying to say something to me? So I went to my daughter's room, which is where I am now. And I read the verse for the day. And it was Isaiah 61:1, which a lot of us know, but It was, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and proclaim the captives be released and prisoners freed." And I've read that before, and I've heard the song Jubilee. Like, I know the verse, but the Lord just, like, said to me, "Carolee, you were a captive. You were brokenhearted. You were a prisoner." And I had never, like, seen myself that way. Like, I was like, yeah, I went through hard times, like, but it wasn't that bad. Someone else has it worse, you know? Or, like, it was just minute. Like, it wasn't big. But he's like, no, it was hard and it was bad. And you, and not just my marriage, like, just not knowing him as I should. And then he said, "It was worse than you thought, but I'm so much better than you think." And I just started sobbing. I'm like, wow, like, he is going to show me that he's better than I think. I might not believe that in this moment, because better than I think, I can't know that. I can't know what's better than I think, you know? But he's going to prove himself and he's going to show up. And I'd say since then he has, and I trust that he will continue. But that's not only for, like, me and my situation. It kind of just opened my eyes to what sin is and how bad it is and how the Lord sees it. And it's worse than I thought. You know, there's a depravity in it. And that makes the gospel so much sweeter as well.
That's good.
Yeah. So it's hard to accept his grace if you don't see yourself as doing anything wrong, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's such a huge aspect of it too, is noticing and, like, realizing the places I've been and the things that I've been doing, because good is not always God.
Right.
And things can feel good. They can seem good. They can seem like the right thing. And then you realize later, that really wasn't what God told me to do at all. What he told me to do didn't make sense. So I decided that this was really good too, so he could use this. And to realize the things that we put ourselves through, the heartache that has to happen because we, you know, follow our own path instead. Sometimes that captivity is on us. Sometimes we hold ourselves in captivity by the way that we think. And we're actually doing a study right now. So Jenny Allen wrote Get Out of Your Head. And it's all about, like, the power of your thoughts and all the things. And so we've been really struggling in some areas in our house, like children, everyone. And so we've been kind of working through that very slowly as a family and talking about the things that we think, and, like, thinking about what we think and how we think, and reminding ourselves that we can take our thoughts captive and our thoughts do not have to hold us captive. And I think that's a powerful way to look at that verse of, like, sometimes we allow our thoughts to hold us in prison. Our anxieties or our fears or, you know, whatever it may be, the lack of confidence in what the Lord has called us to do. And, like, saying that, like, we don't have to be held captive because he is good and the Spirit of the Lord is upon us. So good.
Yeah, definitely.
That one was Isaiah 61:1.
Yes.
And what was the first one?
Let me find it again.
Sorry. I want to write it down.
Yeah. I should it's have been Isaiah 51:3.
Okay. Perfect.
Her garden or her wastelands into the garden of God.
So good.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
I'd share that with Nolan. That's so good.
The poppy seed. I mean, the poppy field of God.
The poppy field of God, yes. I love it. Well, do you have anything else to add before we stop recording?
I don't think so. I love talking to you.
Well, thank you so much for doing this. I hope that it's been encouraging for you. I know that there's going to be some people listening that are going to say, oh my gosh, that's exactly what I needed in this season. I
Hope
know some
so,
people are going through a season very similar to what you came out of. So I'll be sure to share with them as well.
yeah, awesome. Thanks, Michaela.
Yeah, I love you.
You.